Church, it is good to see everybody. I know we got a lot joining us online today, so thank you so much for being a part of what God is doing today. I'm excited this week because we begin, second week into a new series that we've been just began as a church through the book of Colossians. And through this series, we have called this In Him. And really the foundation of that began last week with Pastor Thad is he jumped ahead to verse 15. And we went through this incredible poem that the Apostle Paul wrote there. As in the middle of so much theology, when we think about Paul and this great teacher and this kind of guy with this picture we probably get of him, I love it these few times in his letters where this artistic side of Paul just comes up and we see this beautiful poem reminds me of a beautiful psalm as he just begins to tell us about Jesus. And he reminds us last week that everything is about Jesus. Everything is through him. Everything is by him. Everything is for him. And that's the foundation that we're building from as we get back into Colossians this week. Except this week, we're going to go back to the very beginning. So turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. As we hit to the beginning of the book, jumping back to where we missed last week to keep us going. I'm going to be reading from the CSB version this morning, the CSB version, if you want to follow along with me. And this is a great opening to this letter as Paul begins to write to a church that he actually hadn't met yet. He hadn't met this church, but yet he begins and he writes his letter about what he was hearing about them. And he begins it like this. Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 3. Let's read this together. And he says this, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It's bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it is among you since the day you heard it and come to truly appreciate God's grace. You learned this from Epaphras and our dearly beloved brother, fellow servant. He is faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit." And I love, again, how this begins, because as Paul begins his letter, and he says, I want to just thank God for you. Remember, he's thanking God for a church that he hasn't met yet. It was planted by a guy that he did ministry with, but Paul wasn't a part of that. And so as he begins to write this letter to them, he's not writing from what he knows and experienced with them, but what he has heard about them. He's writing to them to respond to the reputation that they have. And look what he begins to say. He's like, you are known for your faith in verse 4. You are known for your love in verse 4. In verse 8, you are known for your hope, as he says in verse 5. And then he builds from that. He says, you are also known for bearing fruit. You are known for what has come out of your lives, what is happening because of the gospel that you believed in. Because of the hope you put in that gospel, now you are known as it is bearing fruit across the world. It is bearing fruit in your life. It is coming up. We are seeing how the power of God is working and moving in your lives and in your church in an incredible way. But it's not just this reputation that they had of faith, hope, and love and these great and wonderful things. But really, he's writing to them, reminding them, and excited for them that this is based and centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is centered on the gospel. Some of your versions might say centered on the good news because of the good news that you have. And the gospel or the good news, that's kind of a phrase we use a lot in our church Christian world, but I just want to define it for just a moment because it's the foundation of where we're going into not only this morning, but really where we're going to be going throughout the rest of the book. So I want to take a few moments and just describe what is the gospel. What is it that he's talking about that is this foundation that is beginning their lives and is producing this incredible bearing fruit because of what God has done? First of all, we're going to see this, that the gospel, it is all about Jesus. If there is anything that we can take away from the gospel, from the good news, is that we land in understanding that it is all about Jesus. Pastor Thad painted this picture for us beautifully last week in verse 15 and 16. We even see that. It is all about who Jesus is and what he has done. Even though I know that I am sinful, that I broke my relationship with God. That's the bad news. But the good news is that even while I was in sin and there was nothing I could do, the Bible even says while I was an enemy of God and there was nothing I can do, God sent his son Jesus. Jesus came into the world and he lived a perfect life, never sinned, and yet understood our own struggles. And he went to the cross willfully and he died to take on the punishment that our sin deserved, making himself a sacrifice. And not only did he die, but he rose again. He defeated death. And that is the good news, that because Jesus did all of that, now we can celebrate Jesus as we now can come to God and be reconciled in Jesus. And that takes us to the next part of the gospel. The gospel is through him. It is through Jesus. We have to come through Jesus to be reconciled with God. We can't somehow do it on our own. It's not like this 50-50 thing that we somehow figure out halfway ourselves. No, it is through Jesus, only because of what he has done on the cross, only because of the sinless life, but the sacrifice that he made, that we now come and can be restored through Jesus to now live in him, in relationship with God. And then we remember that because of that, as we begin to live in relationship with God, the gospel reminds us that it is all for him. It is all for Jesus. We are in God's power. And when we choose to live in him, we recognize that our lives, all that we are, is all for him. And this is so important to realize, because sometimes we think of the gospel and we think of it as the good news of just salvation. We think the gospel is what we believe and then we get saved. And then we kind of move on with the rest of the Christian life. But we see in scripture that the gospel is not just this moment. It begins as we experience the power of the gospel at that moment of salvation. But the gospel is meant to echo through our lives as we live in him, now have life in him, now we live for him. Every day of our life is meant to be, by the power of the gospel, living for Jesus Christ. Living for him, the one that came, that gave his life, that loved us so much, that was willing to sacrifice and restore our relationship with God. And so the gospel reminds us, church, it reminds us of this incredible truth that we are called by God's power to bear fruit, because it's all about Jesus. It's what Jesus did on the cross that saves us. It's what Jesus is doing in our lives right now to redeem us. And it's also what Jesus has promised to do, because the gospel reminds us it's not about today. It's a hope that is based on eternity. The gospel cannot just be about today, because it's not just about what Jesus did and is doing. It is about what he is going to do, his promises, the hope that we know that when things aren't making sense right now, when things are hard, when it's not what we expected, that there is a hope in what Jesus has said he will complete. Pastor Thad talked about this a few weeks ago in Romans 8, as he reminded us that he is faithful. He will complete that work for his glory. Though it is for him, he is the one also doing that work. What an incredible picture. He says it's all for him, but guess what? He's also going to be the one that does it in us as we surrender our lives to follow him, to continue to live by the power of the gospel every single day. So as Paul says in verse 6, that it continues to bear fruit in our lives. He says it's bearing fruit all over the world. And just as much you should expect, and I'm hearing, that it's bearing fruit in your lives every single day. And this is what this church was known for. The impact of the gospel, how it was grounded in their lives. It wasn't just that they had faith, hope, and love. That just wasn't their reputation alone. But it was that their faith, hope, and love was being empowered to be lived out, because they were focused on living out the power of the gospel every day. And so now we continue. As he's building from this idea, as he's excited about who this church is, as he gets excited about what he's heard about them, we continue on in verse 9, where he continues to share with them. And he says, "For this reason, all that I've heard, all that you know about the gospel, all that God is already doing in your lives, for this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin." So now we come to the second part. As Paul said, "I pray regularly and I thank God for you. I also have another prayer for you." As we look at these things Paul is praying for, I want us as a church, Bethany, here, whether you're at home, however we are as a family, to consider that this is a prayer that we also want to be praying for ourselves right now. Because as much as that was what God was wanting to see happen in the life of that church 2,000 years ago, this is something God wants to see happen in the life of Bethany Church in 2021. So as he echoes this prayer, let it also be a prayer that we have for our own lives, for our own church family, to see God do this and use us. And so as he's praying, he prays for initially for two things. The first thing he says, he prays to be that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And I want you to just pause right there and think about this for a moment. He doesn't just say that they would be filled with the knowledge of God. He doesn't end it there. He says, I am praying that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom, in all spiritual understanding. Because the reason that's such an important thing, because we have to realize that somehow, for some reason, we can stop with just be filled with the knowledge. We can somehow think, if I just get enough knowledge, if I just figure it out, if I just read this enough, if I just study it enough, that somehow if I can just get enough knowledge, then I'll have what I need. But no, what he's saying is that as we seek God, we seek to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And then he says, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that it's not our understanding, our own logic, our own will, our own desires. There is so much that makes sense to the world around us, but it's not God's will. It's not God's knowledge. It's not God's wisdom. There's a lot of things worldly that can just make sense. But he's like, no, I want you to be filled with the will and the knowledge and the spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge of God, understanding of God in your life. So that, and he gets to the second part of the prayer. The first must flow to the second. The reason we need to know God's will and not just know knowledge about God is so that we can do what he says here, to also pray that we would walk worthy of the Lord, that we would walk worthy of the Lord. I remember a statement that, at least in my mind, in my memory, throughout youth group, when I was growing up, I was learning how to follow Jesus. This would echo through my mind. I remember seeing it on posters. Perhaps you remember right here, don't just talk the talk, but what? Walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. See, this is the complete picture he's praying for. He's saying, I don't just want you to know the knowledge of God or even just know the knowledge of his will, but you're to know his will. Why? So that you can walk it. So you can walk out this life and live it in a way that is worthy of all that God has done, that is pleasing to our great Heavenly Father who loves us so much that he sent his son and desires to be in relationship with us. I read this statement this week, and it said this: the devil doesn't care how much you go to church. You can go every week, three times a week. The devil doesn't care how much you read your Bible. You can read it every day. But he cares if you're applying it or not. See, we can be filled with all the knowledge. We can have all the answers. But he wants to know, are we able to walk it? Because if we're not walking it, devil's got what he wants. But it's when we begin to walk it that we see victory in our lives and in our world and our church around us because of the gospel. There's a guy that I met, I guess it's been about a year and a half now. He showed up at our grow group one night with a friend. And I didn't realize this at the time when he first showed up, but he wasn't a Christian. He hadn't decided to follow Christ. But you wouldn't know that, because as we start having discussion based off the messages and we're talking through things, man, he knew the Bible. Like, he was answering questions. He was referencing Bible verses. Like, you would have thought, this guy clearly knows the Bible. He must be a Christian. But as we got to know him more, we found out, no, he knew all the answers. He was filled with knowledge, but he wasn't filled with the knowledge of God's will. And he hadn't committed to walk the life worthy of the Lord. And I remember getting to know him and our friendship, and we would hang out. And I still remember one day hanging out at a coffee shop together, and we just talked about the gospel. We talked about this right here, the difference between knowledge and the knowledge of God's will that causes us to walk worthy, to commit our lives, to follow Jesus. And I remember a week later, he texted me and he said, I did it. I decided to follow Jesus. And right there at that moment, he began to live out what Paul is praying for the church, because I could see that in his life to this day. I love this brother. I have so much fun with this brother, and I love seeing how he is learning to walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, and how his heart is to live out the gospel in his life every single day. Because we have to understand the gospel is not just something that saves us. The gospel is something that its power, we live as we are saved people of God every single day. We don't just save us, but we live as we are saved by the power of God working our lives. That's the gospel's work in us every single day. And then he keeps going, building out this foundation. He begins to talk about the fruit of walking worthy. What does it look like? What is this fruit that he's talking about that's in the life of this church that God wants to see in our lives? And he gets into what you might say is just the evidence of the gospel. For the gospel to be real, there's going to be fruit. If the seed is alive, it's going to grow. We're going to begin to produce fruit. And so he begins to paint this picture of the evidence of the fruit that he would desire to see, that God wants to see impact our lives because of the gospel, because we have truly surrendered our lives to Christ. And as we get into this, though, I want to say this. As we get into these right here, we're going to get into, you could even say, a list of things he says. And a tendency can sometimes be, we look at this and we look at it as a to-do list. Like I got to do these things. And if I do these things, then it proves I'm saved. Somehow, if I complete the list, then I'm good. That's not the heart of God as he writes this for us. In fact, I want us to consider this statement, that when we look at Scripture as a to-do list, we begin to look at Scripture through our power. When we look at Scripture as a to-do list, we begin to look at Scripture as a somehow, I got this, I can do this, I just got to make sure I figure it out. But when we look at Scripture through the lens that begins with the gospel, meaning it's all about Jesus, it's all about what he has done, it's all about what he is doing, and we just say, I need more of Jesus, I've got to know more of Jesus. Then instead of a list by my power, I see God's power and my reliance and need to just fall before him and be dependent on him. And then he begins to work his power in my life. When we see the list, we think it's about our power. But when we realize it's about Jesus, we realize it's about his power and what he wants to do in me. And so we get to the very first thing that he says right here. He says, the first thing, remember this, church. I am praying that because of the gospel, you will bear fruit of good works. That you will see good works begin to bear, to come out of your life. And we probably all heard this again. We're coming back to that tension. Action speaks louder than words. Right? We know this, like the evidence. And again, I want you to think of this as evidence of God's transformational work in our lives, is that we will begin with spiritual wisdom and understanding, being led by the Spirit of God, being led by the power of God in our lives, begin to see in our lives produced by God's power good works that give him glory, works that point people to Jesus, not just good works, but works centered on the gospel point to Jesus, because the gospel is all about Jesus. So when we know that they're coming out of the power of the gospel instead of the power of David, you know why? How we know that? Because Jesus gets the glory, not David. Jesus gets the focus. And when people see things, they say, there's something different. I can say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the power of God inside of me. I can't do this by myself. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul just kind of sums up this idea, and he says, for we are all his workmanship, all by God, what he has done, created in Christ Jesus, through him, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see this? God, this walk thing right here, like Jesus Christ has prepared for us in advance those that have come to him because of the gospel, surrender our lives to him. He's prepared in advance good works lived out by his power. Like he's prepared them in advance, meaning I'm not the one producing them. I'm not the one creating them. I'm not the one coming up with them. God is at work in my life, and he has prepared those in advance so that as I live under the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit in my life, as I walk worthy, these works begin to flow out of me because God is at work in my life producing these works, bearing these works, not me, but God. God is doing great things. And then he continues on. He says, not only do I want that you will you bear fruit of good works because of the gospel. But then he also comes back and he says, now growing in the knowledge of God. And now when we've come to a phrase like growing in the knowledge of God, sometimes we can just think, all right, here we go. Now we're back to kind of what we were saying earlier. We want to get more info about God. But no, when he's talking about the knowledge of God, he's talking about something so much deeper than that. How many of you might remember this song from the 90s called In the Secret? Anybody remember that song? There was way more people in this service than remember. Like there was like three, and I felt very old. So I thank you for the more that remember that. In the Secret, and here's how the chorus went, because I think this chorus beautifully describes what Paul is calling the church to. It goes like this. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to seek your face. I want to know you more. And every one of those lines you can find echo throughout Scripture. Came across another one this week as I was just in my time with God. This isn't just man's version of trying to understand it. These are words echoed throughout the Bible as God is painting a picture for us. What does it mean to know him? What does it mean to grow in knowledge of him? It is not just to have the information. It is to say, God, I want to know you and I want to hear your voice because I'm walking with you. I want to seek your face because I don't just want to know about you, but I want to know more of you. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to understand the heart of God. I want to hear your voice so that you will lead me as I'm living this life, knowing you more and more. I want to touch you because I want to see your power in my life because I can't do it on my own. It's a beautiful picture of what I think Paul is saying for us, that we want to know God because to know him would mean that we seek after him and his power to work in our lives because we love him. Because we love him. And in our love for him, we just keep running after him. At Bethany, we talk a lot about grow groups. This is a side note, but this has been echoing in my heart all week as I've been studying these scriptures. If you talk about grow groups at Bethany, these are actually our small group communities that we have throughout the city, many churches, if you will, of our big church, Bethany Church, many churches and homes all across the area where we know that we have to live out the life of the gospel through our relationships with each other. Because the truth is, church, and then we got to start with this, we are not meant to walk this life alone. We cannot walk this life alone. So even as it begins to talk about producing works and bearing fruit and being able to think about what it means to seek after and know God, we need each other in order to live that life out the way God has called us to live that life out. And so I really want to share this first about grow groups. For those that are in them, those that aren't them, we need to hear this. Grow groups are not meant to be the time where we just rehash the sermon and we figure out what we know at the end of it. That is not the ultimate point of grow groups. The point of our small groups, of getting together, starting with the sermon as our base, is so that as we grow in knowledge of God, we now in this little community that we have help each other walk out what it is. Where we're sitting together and we're going through God's will and we're studying God's word, then at the end of it we can say, so how has God called you to walk because of what we just learned? What is it that God's calling you to? What is God asking you maybe to do differently with your husband or your wife or your kids, your work, your job, or school, wherever it might be? And then we share that as we see God is, the Spirit of God is speaking to us because we want to know him, we want to hear him, we want to see his power alive, and we share that with each other so we can help each other walk this walk. Grow groups is not meant to talk. It is meant to help each other walk. Where we get real with each other and we walk life with each other. It's not a once a week Bible study. It is a life and commitment that we make to help each other walk this great calling worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him. We'll talk more about that later, but I just wanted to see how this is so important to our Christian life. It's so important because to do these things, we cannot do them alone. And even more, as Paul begins to talk about this desire to want to know God, we can jump over to Philippians chapter 3, and I love what he says here. As he describes his desire to know God, he says, not only do I want to know Christ, he says, I don't just want to know him, I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. See, this is the gospel. The gospel is not just to know. It is to know and experience the power of God in our lives, not just at the moment of conversion, but we experience God's power in our life every day as believers, where we come seeking to know him because we want to see his power. Because I realize it's not because of me that I can't do it, but I need God's power. And the thing is, we look at this, this is a really comfortable word. Know is a really comfortable word. Experience can be a little bit less comfortable. We can struggle with that word, experience. And yet at the same time, even as we pray for Sunday morning services, as pray as a staff, Pastor Thad and I, we talk about what we really believe, want to see God do here. We will pray that we will not just come and know more about God, but we are praying that we will come every Sunday. Those that join us online, will even into their homes, that we will not just know more, but that we will experience the power of God here. Because it is the power of God that convicts us. It's the power of God that changes us. It's the power of God that is at work in us so that others see his power and give him glory. It's not just know him. We want to know him and experience his power so that we see God's work moving in our church and not just in here on Sunday morning, but we experience his power together in our grow groups when we're praying for each other. When someone's going through a rough time, we can be like that church and just love them. And we experience God's power as we put our hands on them and pray for them or lift them up. Or when they have fallen, we come to them and we pick them up. We experience God's power as he shows himself and how we love and speak of faith and we speak of hope, and we bear fruit because of the power of the gospel. But Paul wanted. He didn't just want to know, church. And so I want to ask you that same question. Do you just want to know? Or do you want to know and experience the power of God in your life, in your time with him, in our services like this, in your small group, your grow group community? Do you want to see and experience the power of God in your family as we seek to know him more and more together? And speaking of power, Paul just keeps building from that. The next thing he says is, I'm praying that you would be strengthened with God's power. Strengthened with God's power, with God's might. As he begins to describe the power of God in our lives, I always think of, when I think of God's power, I go to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And God's speaking to us, and he says this. He says, just remember, it's not by my force, David Baxley. It's not by my strength. Other versions say, remember, it's not by my power. But what's it by? It says, it's by his Spirit. It is the power and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that is so easy to forget. Because it is so easy to get in just this task mode or this autopilot mode or even an auto-religious mode where we're just, again, we go to that checklist and we're just trying to accomplish the things that we're supposed to do because life can get crazy and it can get hectic. And sometimes we can even struggle with even wanting to know more about God because it just seems like another overwhelming thing that we have to do. But the truth is we have to remember that it can't be because of me. It can't be by me, but by God's Spirit, church, the power of the gospel, we have all we need. We have everything we need in Christ Jesus. It is all about Jesus because that is all we need. And it's so easy to forget that. Sometimes it's hard because we haven't quite learned how to walk in that. But it's something that God has given us. Because as we begin to see that it's all about Jesus because of his power, then he goes on and begins to give this example to us. So what does it look like when God's strength and power is working mighty in your life? And he says, well, endurance and patience. And the patience one just convicts me a ton. Because how many of you struggle with patience? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just raise mine. And then when I pray for patience, I just feel like I'm hitting another brick wall. All right, God, help me be patient today. And I'm trying to figure out patience. And I just keep this brick wall over and over again. Because what I realize is often, I just see like as this thing I just need to do. I just need to be more patient. You ever been that way? That ain't spirit, right? That's David. And as I find that frustration building, it's because I realize I've been trying to do it in my own power over and over and over again. Instead of realizing I need to just come to my Father. And maybe the issue is I don't pray for more patience. Maybe the issue is pray that I just know him more and I love him more that I would see him more than I see myself. And as I see God's glory more than myself, and as I see things around me that aren't about me, that I wish that were about me, but as I see them about God, then I have more patience. I began to see that the people that tend to test that patience around me were actually sent there by God because he wants me to love on them. Because he wants them to see the power of the gospel in my life for them to know it and see it as well. And then as I began to see the hardest things in my life that test my patience through the lens of the gospel and what Jesus did and his incredible love and patience for me, now I can begin to walk with endurance. Because I could hold fast, not to my power. I hold fast to him as I begin to learn how to walk and live in him. And as I'm living in him and experience his power, I can hold on with endurance. The toughest things that God and me might experience together in this life. Some of the most painful situations. You know what's been an incredible test of this church? I know we might get tired of talking about it, but the truth is, COVID has been one of the greatest tests of this in our lives. We were talking about this last week on the podcast. Talked about how it's almost like a temperature check. Boom, boom, ding. How are we doing at this? What's going on in our lives? And it's a test because it tells us if I'm really struggling with patience, with all these things that I don't like around me, that don't make sense to me, but I can't control and I can't fix, and I'm getting agitated and frustrated and angry, then that tells me right there, I am not functioning in the power of the Spirit. I am functioning in the power of David Baxley. If I want to know that the fruit of the Spirit of God is working in my life, patience endures, when these things are driving me crazy, and then as I recognize, you know what? God is at work in this. This isn't some random thing that just happens. My God, the creator of the universe, is so sovereign. It is all by Jesus. It is all through Jesus. It is all for Jesus. I can see that this is all by him and through him and for him. What do I have to be frustrated about? But to say, God, how would you like to use me in the middle of all of this? So we got to ask the question, does the world see a patient, enduring people that are so different than the rest of the world because we have Jesus and the power of the gospel? Or do they see just another group of frustrated religious people? One is me, the other is God. And the thing is as we learn to walk in that power, we get to the next thing. As he said, give thanks in all things. To give thanks joyfully in all things. And I'm going to tell you this, and not because this is not at all meant to at all to brag, but I want to tell you what it's something God's had to do in my life. As I have been walking this, I have found myself as I've had to see God's work in frustrating situations and things that are testing my patience. And my patience is being tested more than it ever has been right now. As I'm seeing things that aren't going the way I want, or they're lasting longer than I want, and all these things that are happening, as I have begun to see, and God has, by his grace, has let me see where he's working and what he's doing and what he's wanting to do in my life and in our church and churches all over the world through this, as he's just given us a glimpse in that, I've been able to actually give thanks joyfully for what we're going through. Why? Because God is at work. Why? Because of the gospel. Because it's all about Jesus. And it's all by him and through him. He's at work. So my job, I just want to live for him and in him. I want to be in him, walking with him, and living for him because I love him and I trust him. That is my hope. That is my confidence. That is our story. See God do incredible things. And lastly, as we come to the very end of this section, as he's been challenging the church, his prayer for the church and all of this, he brings it right back to the gospel and he says, remember, Colossians 1:13, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness. When we were in our sin and we could not rescue ourselves, Jesus picked us up and he rescued us. And he transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. We are now in the kingdom of God. We have relationship with God. In him, 14, we have redemption and we have forgiveness of sins. Because he's reminding us, guys, if when we were broken and lost in our sins, we could do nothing by our own power, why do we try to convince ourselves that once we start to follow Jesus and now our own power should be a part of the party? He reconciled us. I couldn't do it. He redeemed me. I couldn't do it. He brought me into the kingdom, and I could never do it. And he forgave me of sins, of the worst offense against a holy God that I could never do. I'm just saying, God, I want to walk with you in your power and see your work in my life. And we come to it back at the end of this. I think we got to ask ourselves the question, why do we try to do it ourselves? Why do we keep trying to do it ourselves? We keep stubbing our toe, and yet we just keep trying to pick ourselves up and just keep walking right back into that wall, and we stub our toe again. But you know, there's two things. One, not only were we meant to do this by the power of God, I come back to what I said earlier, this powerful reminder that we were meant to do this with each other. As we look at everything that Paul has called us to in this first section, everything that he is celebrating this church already knew what we're going to say right here is that they already knew that they couldn't do it alone. When we look at the early church and how they lived, they were living in fellowship. They were living in these smaller group communities, doing life together, walking with each other, helping pick each other up. This is an incredible thing that God has offered us. But church, if we try to walk this alone, we are going to struggle and we are going to fall. And we fall, we won't have those to help pick us up. Won't help us to help us understand the spiritual wisdom of God's will in our life. To help us when we're wrestling through some of the most painful, difficult times. Pastor Thad said it earlier, but what do we say at Bethany? We believe that God has called us to be a church that passionately follows Christ. How? Together. We're going to say it again. We are called to passionately follow Christ together. We can't do this alone. Let's stop trying. I want to see God's power in my life. And so I've got to realize I need you. I need you. And I can tell you the difference. We had weeks where we weren't with our grow group. I was struggling with my walk. I was tripping over my own feet. I missed those, my mini church that I know God has put around my life to help lift me up, to help me walk. Help me walk by the power of the gospel and not by the power of David Baxley, to remind me of what I need to be reminded of. And I want to say this, because I think this is so important, church. It's really easy to believe somehow we're the exception to the rule. It's so easy to believe somehow I'm the exception. Like, oh, but you don't understand how busy life is right now, or you don't understand what's going on with life and all these other things we have in sports and kids or chaos and job. And I get all those things. Please hear me. I'm not trying to minimize them, but all those, what value they have outside of living a life through the power of the gospel. And when we know we need each other to live the life that we are called to live, worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, how can any of those things begin to take over what we know God has created us for in fellowship together, to walk hand in hand, to walk in community, and experience the power of the gospel in our lives every single day? Where we live for him, we live in him, and we do this together, passionately following Christ. So I have a couple of things I want to call you to challenge you with, even consider, is that for those of you that are in grow groups, I know some of our grow groups, they meet on Zoom, some of them meet face-to-face, how are we doing? I want to encourage you tonight, grow group leaders, take time to ask the tough questions. How are we doing at walking life together? Not how are we doing at studying, how are we doing at going deeper? Because I hear back from most grow groups, I hear that's going pretty good. But how are we doing at walking life together outside of this once a week get together? How are we doing at being honest in here about our struggles in our marriages, with our kids, with work, with people? And how are we doing it at supporting the ones that share? How are we doing it at walking alongside, picking someone up, or even just getting down in the dirt with them when they've fallen and they're hurting? Ask those questions. And then maybe also ask, how are we doing not just at knowing God, but knowing his power in our lives, individually, as couples, as a grow group? And what can we do as a group to help encourage each other to experience that power in our lives every week, every day, to help walk each other through that? And if you're not in a grow group, I want to encourage you to whatever reason you think you may not be able to, even in the middle of COVID. Like I said, we got groups that meet via Zoom. We got some that meet face-to-face. We have 30 grow groups across the city meeting every night of the week. I want to encourage you, give me a call, send me an email, fill out your connection card if you're home right now, and let's talk about how we can make this work, help you find that community that you need to walk this. If you're here right now, I want to encourage you, head out where Pastor Thad said, the next steps. There's a bunch of people out there. They can help you answer questions about grow groups, show you where the grow groups are, what they do, where they meet, all that stuff. They can even tell you about the incredible things they see God do in their lives because of it. But let's take a step today. Where God is going, that we would walk more and more in line with His will, worthy of this life He has called us to. And lastly, will you close your eyes with me for a moment, please? We said this earlier. The power of the gospel begins when we first surrender our lives to Jesus. We have that time where we come to Him and we say, Lord, here I am. I know I'm a sinner and I've separated from you, but to walk the life that you called me to, I cannot do this. And we first surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. And that's you. I want to encourage you right now in your home, in your seat, just say, Jesus, I surrender. I give my life to you. Fill me with your spirit that I could walk with you, and now lead me in the next steps. Lead me how to walk. We would love to talk with you. Give us a call or an email. If you're here right now, meet us in the back corner. We'd love to pray with you, Pastor Thad, myself, or Tammy, because we want to continue to walk with each other every step of the way. See God's power. Let us be a church. And when they hear us, like Paul heard about the reputation of that church, when they hear the reputation of Bethany, they can be excited because they see that God is doing something there. And they want to be a part of the supernatural power of God at work in our lives for His glory. Jesus, we come, we commit this to you right now. God, as we go and we continue to worship, I just pray that you would continue to help us find reliance on you, commitment to you, make it all about you. Lord, continue to do that work that you have promised you will be doing, and help us to surrender, follow, and walk with you by your power. In Jesus' name, amen.